This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And this afternoon, we're going to pick kind of a daunting topic, try to talk about the impact of the pandemic on the mental health of young people in the area. We've got folks in from ADAPT this afternoon, and that includes Tony Zimmer, Brenda Royal, and Nicole Matz. Ladies, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
So I guess, first of all, just kind of talk about some of the issues that have come up with the pandemic, during the pandemic, since the pandemic, mental health-wise for young people, because I think we're starting to realize that this is going to be like a long-term situation that's going to be something we're going to be dealing with and coping with for years to come.
It is, and I can say a little bit about that. There's a lot of research out there, both nationwide in Oregon and in Douglas County, that is leading to the effect that, especially in our youth, we are seeing significant increases in substance use, especially substance use that is solitary versus social because of all the isolation that's been going on in the last couple of years. There's also a significant increase in eating disorders, and that includes visits to the ER for eating disorder concerns. Anxiety and depression have both, they're just about at double rates that they were in 2018.
Double rates.
Anxiety, there's a couple studies out there that show that anxiety in 2018 here in Douglas County affected about 11.6% of the youth. And the most recent one here in 2021 shows that it's about 20.5%. So that's almost double. And depression's even more of a higher range than that. So we're about double with both of those.
Wow. So, Nicole, now you're a wraparound supervisor. Tell me what that means.
So I'm a part of a specialty program that's housed within youth and family, and we work with populations anywhere from birth to 17, and those populations are typically dealing with multi-system involvement. They are OHP recipients, and they're experiencing complex needs, which means the things that they're struggling with are kind of cutting across different areas in their life, whether it's cutting into their schoolwork, it's impacting their life at home, perhaps it's impacting their life in the community. And so we typically go through a planning process with the youth and focus on their needs and strategize with them with team members and hopefully see some success come out of them.
So Brenda, you're an outpatient supervisor. Talk about your role.
My role is to support my clinicians. I have four in-house and four telehealth. And I just oversee just everyday routine things that happen in the office.
So do any of you guys feel like things are starting to improve this year at all with some of these different issues, or is it going to take a while to see much change?
I think that we are still seeing increases in mental health concerns and families struggling here in Douglas County, and I do think that there is hope for the future. But it's going to take some time to recover.
And when you look at this, I mean, there are so many aspects to a pandemic that none of us were alive when the last one happened. So it's kind of hard to look at data, and data wasn't even gathered quite the same way back then with the technology changes. But is this being kind of looked at as a historically unique period of time?
I think that would be really difficult to say for sure, because we're not out of the clear yet, right? And kind of like you said, we don't really have something to compare it to. So it'd be really, really hard to say whether or not this is a historical event or not.
However, with the lack of data, the data is not there yet because mm-hmm. we're not done. But, you know, as a clinical social worker in the field and knowing the types of issues that we're dealing with, when we have kids that are not meeting their milestones because they've been isolated, or we have kids who have increased mental health issues, those are things that tend to go on over the long term, and they carry them into their adulthood, and sometimes they become generational. So I would say, in my professional and personal opinion, that is absolutely true.
Now, this is almost like a no-brainer, but did social media contribute to the increased tension during the main sort of shutdown part of the pandemic?
Yes, it did. It with children losing their adult leadership and direction, looking for answers on the internet, being in social media more, not being able to delineate between fact and fiction, getting scared, cyberbullying increasing, actually children telling other children to go kill themselves, and in some sad cases they did. And the Momo thing appeared, scaring everybody. Just a lot of incorrect information out there.
It seemed like, especially during the spring of 20 and into the summer and all that, people would say things on social media that they probably wouldn't have said in person, just given everything that was going on. How did that kind of in-your-face attitude contribute to things getting worse?
I think it does. I think there's a lot of incorrect information out there. And when you have people isolated, so they don't have the ability to reach out socially to their supports, their families, their real-life friends, and that type of thing, they start, you know, their minds start creating their own scenarios, and there's a lot of fear, and they don't have access to being able to relieve those fears and thoughts that they're seeing on social media and the internet.
And what about the time or the aspect of families during that, especially during 20, being largely together? Sometimes you might not have had a very big living space and all of that. I mean, talk about some of the things that came out of that.
Yeah, that's actually pretty interesting, because it your entire home life, you know, even personally speaking, your entire home life is shifted around becoming the cook, the maid, the teacher, the IT support, perhaps on top of doing your own work as a parent. So I have noticed, after speaking with a lot of parents and youth, it was incredibly stressful for them. It was difficult to maintain their own responsibilities for their employer, but to also continue to provide the support that was necessary for their children to be doing well or to do well academically. And then we did see quite a significant drop off in academic participation, which I believe the Brighter Futures program was kind of trying to pick up pieces from that to like help youth re-engage academically and kind of get them back on track. So it had a pretty significant impact on home life.
And as I've talked to school district superintendents a couple weeks back, you know, it's very district to district, but in some places there are kids that just sort of blipped off the map. Mm-hmm. And they're not exactly sure if they went to private school or homeschooling or checked out altogether. I ran across a conversation recently with someone who told me about a high school age student that they were spending some time with who hadn't actually been in school in several years, and nobody'd really caught on to it. Stuff like that kind of worsened, I imagine, during the pandemic.
Yeah, I think that's happening more than we know. I think the isolation of families, the lack of social interaction, the, you know, children and their families missing milestones, you know, simple things that we have taken for granted over the years, like graduating from kindergarten, graduating from middle school, high school, going to your prom, family events, gathering for Thanksgiving, and those types of things. They all have a toll, take a toll on mental health, both of the adults and the children. So that creates a lot of stress in families.
And while we're still going through kind of this phase of things, it is interesting to think back to 2020 and all those virtual graduation events, and everybody just kind of got through it, but nobody, I think, really liked it.
No, I don't think it's the same. I don't think it can be the same. It's nice that we have those options and that we can do something, but I don't think it's the same thing. We are human beings. We need social interaction. We need people just to help us get through and be supportive and that type of thing, because as we know, life brings challenges. We have financial hardships. We have, folks who have died during the pandemic that, folks have needed help grieving. That includes our adults and our children. There are just a lot of things that you don't get virtually that we get out of actual peer-to-peer interaction, both families and children.
All right, more when we come back. The interview podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson at 1, Umpqua Valley Live coming up at 4. We are talking about the impact of the pandemic on young people and their mental health in the area with folks from ADAPT, Brenda Royal, Nicole Matz, and Tony Zimmer as well. And obviously, we're going to just scratch the surface at this. I imagine professionally, you guys see, you know, all information come across your screen and in meetings and stuff, that there's so many levels to this, so many levels to the mental health impacts of the past 2 years, 2.5 years, that it's almost going to be like a part of your job probably for the foreseeable future to deal with what we've just gone through.
Yeah, I think creativity has become our middle name, just like it has for families, children, businesses, everybody who's dealing with a pandemic, because one size doesn't fit all. So, you know, something does come across our vision that needs to be addressed. You know, it could be a family that does well with telehealth. It could be a family who needs to come in and be seen in person. And, of course, we're juggling which staff can. And, you know, staff and families, everybody in this community is dealing with the outcome and the result of COVID, and it's a constant juggling match. I think that we do a good job, and I think Douglas County has a really strong community and a lot of resources available here. So while they are above the state average for increases in mental health issues, especially with our youth, they are also above the mark when it comes to resources and financial monies that they're putting into programs to help resolve it, which is really hopeful.
Do you feel like the pandemic was especially hard on younger people versus adults that maybe already had gained more skills for coping with tough situations?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and actually I'd love to see the results of it, but again, we don't have the data to really kind of speak to that. I can speak professionally. We did see a significant increase of youth entering Mercy's emergency department and being placed on parental holds in relation to increased suicidal ideation, increased depression, increased anxiety. The age at which youth were actually entering the Mercy emergency department dropped by about 1 to 2 years, where the typical age range prior was about 12 to 14 that was going in, and it was pretty sporadic. Now it's anywhere between 10 and 12. And it's pretty frequent.
Was it hard? You know, one of the other aspects during all of the past couple of years was sometimes the folks that were in need not necessarily knowing how to connect, especially during the time when maybe they wouldn't just go find your office, you know, and walk in and ask for help. Did that add a layer of additional work and trying to just get connected?
Yeah, I would say it kind of depends, because it depends on the individual that's seeking services. There's kind of an array of individuals, some that don't really necessarily know how to navigate the system, and others that are slightly familiar, and then others that are very familiar with navigating the system, and you know who to contact, you know who to access. So I would say it's a little bit difficult coming out of it, as we're kind of coming out of it now. I am receiving a lot of calls and a lot of information, or a lot of requests about housing and food stability and financial stability. During the middle of it in 2020, there was a lot of need for communication in general. So I know like Umpqua Health Alliance and ADAPT partnered with developing and providing cell phones for individuals so that line of communication could be available. But yeah, I'm interested to see the data on that.
Yeah, I think it's taken a little while for providers to actually get up to par to get the word out to those folks who really needed to know how to reach resources. Mm-hmm. But I do think that's actually starting to improve significantly, especially here in Douglas County. There are a lot of really good community partners in this county working together to make sure that people know where they can go for help. Mm-hmm. It just has taken a little bit of time to catch up with that.
Well, and I would guess as well, during the past couple years, that you had areas of the population that had normally never been in situations where they had to ask for help. Mm-hmm. I mean, for everybody, life was rough, even if you had normally a cushy, great life with not a lot of problems. But even some of those people were, you know, seeing issues, whether it tied to job loss or employment loss, you know, just a lot of different things, and the mental health part of that too. So you probably had some folks that weren't even used to asking for help that were throwing up their hands wondering what to do.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
So the for you guys, what has it been like being on the other side of this as professionals? How challenging has it been for all of you?
It's been very challenging, trying to be there for everybody and trying to accommodate everybody's needs and the heartache that you see and the things you hear and have, you know, a lot of things you don't have any control over, but you're just there for them and you're trying to support them and help them. It's been a very big struggle for all of us, I believe.
Nicole?
Yeah, I think the impact, again, it's really, really hard to understand what that impact has actually meant. But it, again, professionally, like, it's very taxing when your own workforce is diminished or people pull back or they're, you know, and they have their own, they have, maybe they wanted to work from home more often rather than coming into the office, and learning to flex around that, you know, as an agency, learning to flex around schedules now when parents had to go and pick up their youth from school because the school had an exposure and now they're out for 10 days. So it's kind of just been this, for a while, it has felt like it's been this constant state of fluctuation and unknown and instability, and it's been difficult to navigate, but I'd say the need doesn't go away just because the workforce isn't there. So I think a lot of us just really had to step up and press in even when we were weary ourselves.
Absolutely. So Tony, what about schools and their partnerships with ADAPT? How does the school districts and the ADAPT work together?
Yeah, so we actually have about 13 schools right now that are contracting with us, and we just went through the last few weeks. We've been doing a lot of meetings with them, initial setups of placing clinicians in their schools, and I've been at a few of those and talked to some of the principals and the teachers in groups, and they're seeing some pretty significant mental health needs. I was at one school recently, about 2 weeks ago, and they were commenting on, after the first couple days of school, children as young as kindergarten and first grade coming in, and just being at a loss of how to deal with behaviors and simple things like, you know, being able to share and aggression toward other kids and aggression toward their teachers and things. And, you know, the bottom line is that these kids have missed those milestones. That first 0 to 3, 0 to 5 years is the time that those kids learn those social skills, and it's really tough. And then all of a sudden they're thrown back into the school system and they don't know how to deal with it, and the teachers don't know how to manage it.
Wow, so, got about a minute left for people that have seen issues in their families, maybe themselves, people around them. How do they get connected with resources to get some help?
So if they go online, they can certainly go to adapt.org. All of our programs are there, all of our phone numbers for our programs. If you want to reach youth and family programs, you can call 229-8934. We have a variety of services available to people. And then call one of us. If we don't have what you need, we will help you find it.
All right. Brendan, Nicole, Tony, ladies, thanks for coming in this afternoon. I think you're probably all due a nice trip to Hawaii sometime soon. So maybe you can get a break from some of the things going on. We'll be exploring this more in coming days, but thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.